Yes, as was mentioned, my name is Aaron. It is an honor to be with you all. I was sharing earlier that while this is not our typical church home, every time there are a handful of churches when I get to visit that it feels like an extended church family, and this is one of them. I love your pastor, David, and the others, Stacy and Michael and Dan, who I haven't had a chance to meet too much yet, but I've heard wonderful things about him, and it's just an honor to be here with you this morning. Promise 686, I want to make sure I enunciate the numbers there, so it is 686. I have been accused of not enunciating that properly before, and it gets confusing, but it is found on the scripture and the promise in Psalm 68:6. God sets the lonely in families. And that's our heart, is to, as an organization, to help equip and empower local churches to serve vulnerable children and strengthen families all across Montana, and really as a national organization all across the country. And I'm not going to dive too much into that just yet, but I want to introduce today's message really is about story. It is about a story. So if you can just imagine, we're kind of sitting around the campfire, sitting around the living room with a cup of coffee in our hands. And I want us to think about the stories and have that image in your mind. Because if you've ever picked up a good book or watched a really good movie, you will notice that there is always really a central plot or theme that spans throughout the entire book. This kind of overarching thought that leaves you feeling hungry and wanting to lean into it more. And if it's a good book, which I've found very few of those unless they involve pictures, that satisfy me. So movies are things that I enjoy, but they leave you hungering, guessing for what's coming next. And as you're almost drawn in to become this kind of lead character in the book or in the movie. Some of the greatest ones will even throw in kind of a few side plots. You know, you've got this overarching theme, and then all of a sudden there introduces like another little theme or another little story within a story. If you think about Star Wars, how many of you have ever watched Star Wars? Everybody, pretty much. The fight between good and evil, kind of this overarching theme of the Jedi versus the Sith. Then all of a sudden enters the Skywalker family and all the dynamics between Luke and Leia. Do they love each other, but they're sisters? And then there's Anakin, who's like this father. I mean, sorry if I'm ruining it for those of you who haven't, but that's the main line there of Luke, I'm your father. Then enters the story of Chewbacca and Han Solo, and then all of a sudden now there's the spinoff of The Mandalorian and all these different subplots that leave you for generations wanting to plug in. I mean, my son at 14, all the way through my mother-in-law, who's, I'm not going to say, love this movie. Think about The Chronicles of Narnia, or one of my personal favorites, and I won't tell the title just yet, but you might know it, is this race car driver who's on his way to surpassing everybody else on the circuit, except he ends up getting lost in a small town where he gets in trouble with the law, to fall in love with the prosecuting attorney, become friends with the goofy guy in town called Tomater, and then ends up learning to slow down, enjoy the smaller things in life, lessons in humility and friendship. And if you've not watched it, go find it. It's called Cars. It's a really cool movie. So on a more serious note, though, if we're going to look at the story, I want us to look at the story of vulnerable kids in Montana. Some of you may know, because some of you might be familiar with this, but in Montana right now, there's roughly 2,200 to 2,300 kids in foster care on any given day. Kids who are living in limbo, going from one placement maybe to another, maybe struggling in reunification attempts or struggling in a group home without any sense of family belonging, stuck in this cycle of generational hurt and struggle and traumas. And while 2,200 kids doesn't sound all that bad, I mean, Flathead and Glacier High School, I mean, that's probably roughly about how many kids attend one of those high schools. Like, that's not that many kids. But whenever you consider the historical average of how many kids there are in Montana that range 0 to 18, that historical number has been about 234,000 kids. So whenever you begin to break this down in per capita, 1 in 106 kids, roughly. Now that gets a little serious. 1 in every 106 kids have a risk of being in foster care in our state. That puts us at one of the top in the country of states and the risk of children being in care. Out of the entire country, we have some of the highest numbers. And the sad reality, in 2023, when there were actually more kids in care, roughly 2,400 to 2,500 kids, 40% of those precious children were Native. So of the highest of highest, we have the highest is Native children as well. So the story of the vulnerable children in Montana, I think you would agree, is one of struggle, is one of hardships, it's one where families that need support, one where there is an overwhelming need for even more families to be ready to say yes, one where biological families and foster families and kinship families need families wrapping around them. Where children who are at risk of aging out at the age of 18 with little to no supports need family connections. As a matter of fact, on national averages indicate that those who age out without a family network or support, 70% of those suffer at human trafficking and victims there. 71% of young women will become pregnant within 1 year of aging out. 40 to 50% of youth will become homeless within 18 months. And in the Flathead Valley, we hold the title of one of the highest rates of student homelessness in all of Montana as well. So I bet you'd agree with me that as we sit here with our cup of coffee around the campfire, around the living room setting, that the story facing the majority of Montana children is not okay. Yet God promises in Psalm 68, verse 6, God sets the lonely in families. I bet in all reality, as we look at the story, the idea of changing things seems pretty daunting. It feels like a mountain of crisis that is in our state that is too big to even begin to try and tackle. And so really, what hope is there? How could we begin to even make a difference? And so I want to turn our attention to perhaps one of the greatest stories ever told over cars, over Narnia, over anything else out there. I want to turn our attention to a story that is filled with historical true events found woven throughout our Bible. And sorry if this is a main spoiler for you, if you don't realize what the overarching plot line of these scriptures from Genesis to Revelation is, but you need to hear this. The main story found in these scriptures is God is who He says He is. And His desire for an eternal, everlasting relationship with you. It doesn't matter where you turn in these pages, it is going to point out God is who He says He is, and He wants a relationship with you. From the creation to the various miracles pointing to God is who He says He is. From the way the sacrifices were conducted in the Old Testament pointing to the ultimate sacrifice we just got done singing about of Christ crucified and risen. From the prophecies that spanned hundreds and thousands of years that have all come true or are in the process of becoming true in our day and time. It all points to who God is, and it says He is, and does what He says He will do. It points to the restoration and the redemption for us being found in the one we just sung about, Jesus Christ. And so the question for us today, as we hear the story of the vulnerable children and as we begin to look at the story found in these pages, is these two questions. What role do you want to play in the story? What role do you want to play in the story, and what ending are you going to walk towards? You're going to hear those questions throughout, and I want you to sit with them and digest them for yourself. What role do you want to play in the story? What ending are you walking towards? Because I want you to hear and I want you to see how our story fits within this grander story of God is who He says He is and His desire for relationship. Because the answer we give or perhaps don't give to those two questions really matters. It really matters. Why? Because God has written a unique, a perfect, beautiful story for each and every one of us. A story that has and places value and worth on your life. Found in these scriptures, it shows your life is of value and of worth. A story where your life can have redemption, restoration, and hope in Christ if only we would turn to Him. And a story where your life has purpose and freedom and a call to action and an opportunity to participate in the greater kingdom impact for those around us. Now, I realize those three statements, the fact that your story has value and your life has purpose, where your story has redemption and hope, and where your story has a call to action and an opportunity for purpose. I realize that some of you in this room or watching online might want to kind of pull back and say, wait a second, you don't know me. You don't know my situation. Some of you are probably sitting here hearing those words sink in, and you're thinking, my story is feeling hopeless. My story feels lonely. My story seems insignificant and like nobody would ever want to hear from me or be around me, much less want to even see me. Your story may feel like and just seem like it's on a repeat cycle. You wake up in the morning, you drink your coffee, you go to work, you have no meaning, you come home, you eat dinner, you go to bed, you do it up again the next day. And you're wondering, what is this life really all about? And somehow you found yourself sitting here today, watching online, and you hear these words again. God has written a unique and a perfect story for you. Hear that. A story of value, a story of worth, a story that holds redemption and restoration and hope if you would turn to Him, and a story of purpose and action and kingdom impact as you interact with those around you. To help solidify this truth in our heart and in our minds today, we're going to look at a couple key passages. And so if you would turn with me to Psalm 139, verse 13. This is probably, some of these passages are very familiar to most of us if we have spent any time in the church world. But I really want us to let this sink in. Psalm 139. The truth that God is the author and the writer of your life. And this grand scheme of story, in the grand scheme of the story of vulnerable children and the families in crisis, I want this to sink in. God is the writer of your life. God is the writer of the life of the person sitting next to you. He is the writer of the person who's sitting next to you on the other side and in your world around you, neighbors, schoolmates, coworkers. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16. For you, that is God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none. God is the author. He is the designer of you. Listen to those words again. He put you together. He gave you unique abilities. I am fearfully, wonderfully made. You formed my inward parts. You covered me. Your eyes saw my substance. God wrote your story. He gave you unique abilities and identity and individuality. There is no mistakes when God is the writer. There were no regrets, no mishaps. There is nothing that he did that was a mistake whenever he created you and I and those around us. And you might look in the mirror, or you might have feel inadequate because something might need to change. You may have heard growing up that you don't fit in, or that you don't look like the airbrushed, polished examples of what culture says that you should be. But look at the words again in Psalm. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That is what the author and the creator of this world said whenever he looked at you. Whenever he created you and put the story and began it for your life. You were no accident. And you are not lacking in any way. Your entire life, as it says here in verse 16, was written out in his book before it ever even began. Think about that. He knows what you've gone through. He knows what you're going through today. And he knows what you're going to go through tomorrow and next year. Because he wrote your life. He's held you tight. He's created you uniquely and beautifully and fearfully, wonderfully made. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 121, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who never sleeps, the one who never slumbers, the Lord who perseveres with my goings out and my comings in. That is the one who created you. So in the grand scheme of this scripture, who says God is who he says he is, and his desire to be in a relationship with you lies a subset story of your life where God created you unique. Now as we consider that in light of the vulnerable children around us, the families who are struggling, the families who will be served through the baby bottles, the coworker who's dealing with who knows what in their family life. God created you unique. He created them unique and wonderfully made. Second thing I want us to look at is God said yes to you. Not only is he the author of your life, not only did he write out your book or your life in his book, but God said yes to you. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3 down to verse 14, Paul writes this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have the redemption through the blood and the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. God chose you. As you look at the story of your life in this grand scheme, let that sink in. The creator of this world looked down on this life that is called yours, and he chose you. The choice that he chose you and had a plan for you. You were in the script all along. You weren't some character who just magically showed up all of a sudden, unplanned, unimagined. You were written out in his plan and known about. When God looked over the timeline from the start to the end, you were in it, and for such a time as this. You were beautifully, wonderfully made, and you were chosen to be sitting here to hear this right now and for a life that is to be lived out today. Some of us are younger in that life and wondering, well, what am I going to do? Some of us are more mature in our life and thinking, well, what am I going to do with the rest of it? You have a life and been chosen by him. Not only were you in the story, but you were chosen for this time. You were chosen by him and given a purpose by him. You see, he had us in mind, and he selected us for himself. He had us in mind before we were even a thought in anybody else's mind, and I want you to let that sink in. I don't know your stories. I don't know where you're at today, but I want you all to hear that. He had you in mind before anybody else ever had you in mind. If that is not a special thing to celebrate, the fact that God loved you so much that he began thinking about you before anybody else, I don't know what excites you. Consider the joy that he had in planning out the future from Genesis to Revelation, and to think all of a sudden, here comes you. Oh, I get to write their story now. Oh, and I get to write their kids' story and their grandkids' story. Oh, what this is going to be like. The joy God had in writing your story. 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 puts it like this. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. He chose us before time began. Romans 8. Let me get there real quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 31, letting this sink in again. For whom he, God, foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? The God who chose you, and who can be against us? Second thing we see here in Ephesians 1 is not only the choice, but it's the cost. When God said yes to you, it was costly. We sang the songs. We mentioned Jesus' death and the empty tomb. But nothing was held back when God displayed his love for you. When God looked down and he said, you need redemption, I'm going to give it all over. He sent himself, he sent Jesus Christ to pave the way for redemption and made adoption possible into his family through Jesus. He stood in our place and gave of himself, dying on the cross. He literally became our substitute, guaranteeing the redemption and restoration to the Father. Through his blood and through his death, we can find that redemption. Paul writes in Romans the truth that while we were powerless, or maybe your version says weak, utterly helpless, while we were still sinners, enemies, Christ died for you. The cost to choose you. And then the third thing we see here in Ephesians is the blessing that he lavished on us, the freedom, the redemption, the forgiveness, the adoption into his family forever. Verse 4 says it like this, that we were made holy and blameless. We were given the riches of his glory and his grace that were lavished on us. What this blessing means is that when God looks at you, when God looks at you and the sins that you and I have committed in our life, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, literally steps in front of us, and that is whom God sees now. He does not see the sins that Aaron has committed. He doesn't see the sins that you have committed. He sees the one who sacrificed his life for us. And because of that, we get to enter into the adoption of Jesus and God's family forever because the sacrifice he paid. We are only able to stand before the Lord God, the Creator and the Author, holy and blameless because of the satisfied and finished work of Jesus. His grace welcomes us in to a family that lasts forever, a family that has free rein to call out to Abba Father anytime we need him. It connects us directly to the one who created the world when we believe in him and we are with him, connected to Jesus. We are moved from death to life. We're moved from sin and darkness to his life. We are moved from separation, loneliness, isolation, hurt, trauma, whatever the baggage is that you bring with him, we are moved into adoption and a family that lasts forever. Salvation comes from the eternal, life-giving light shining on the world through Jesus. The third thing we see is not only did God create our life. Not only did God choose us, but God's invitation to become ambassadors to this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 20. Now then, when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, this grand scheme of story involves your life, a perfect, uniquely created life, a life that has been chosen by God and a life that has been invited by the Lord to become an ambassador for him to the world around you. We have been invited to join in this amazing mission to share and to spread his witness to the world around us. Whether that be on mission trip, whether that be in the grocery store, whether that be in the workplace or in the school environment, we have this ability to go and share the gospel, this call to go and live in action because of the availability of Jesus and his Holy Spirit living in us, empowering us and anointing us. This call to be ambassadors, whether that is around the world or across the street, that isn't just for some super believers or extremely trained person like a pastor. It's not for just them. It is the mission for each and every believer. It is for the whole church who has a play and a part to play in this story of reaching the world. You see, each one of us has a beautiful, perfect story. Each one of us has an adoption story, perhaps into God's family. And if you don't know yet if that is your story, if you have a place in God's family, I would encourage you to come. I can't stress this enough, to come and find Virgil or someone here today to make sure that you have a part in God's family. But each one of us has a beautiful story, an adoption story. Each one of us knows the truth that God says yes to us. The truth that God, the author and designer of the world, perfectly planned out your life. And that ought to drive us to action when we leave these buildings. When we leave out the doors of this building, it should drive us to an actionable steps. The call to action is clear. You are a part of the grand story to tell of who God is, to tell of the redemption story of Jesus Christ. You are a part of that because to shine God's love and have been called to tell that to others, to bring light to darkness, to bring hope to the hurting, to bring joy to the suffering, and to bring and point others to the author and the creator, the one who longs for them to be a part of his family. You see, our response to the gospel in our life is reflected in our willingness to step into the pain and the mess and the trials of someone else's life. Let me repeat that. Our response, our call to action, our response to the gospel in our life is reflected in our willingness to step into the stories of those around us. Jesus showed us example after example throughout his ministry, and he was always on target in his life. He was always able to see and watch the need in front of him and to meet the need and to declare the message of hope that he brings to the world. Jesus shows us the way to declare and extend the invitation around us is to step into their lives of people that we know. See their needs, see their hurts, and point them to the God who loved them. Point them to the God who wrote their story. Point to them to the God who chose them. And point them to the God who gives them purpose and calls them to action. You see, we have the chance to flip the script for their life. And when the world says to you, or the person sitting next to you in school or at work, that you're not worthy, you have the chance to speak God's truth and God's value. When those in your sphere of influence feel alone and hurting, stuck in a cycle of repeat, feeling hopeless, you can step into their life with the truth that God created them to be His son, His daughter. When that struggling family and that vulnerable child is going through the struggles and the trauma and the loneliness and the pain and the hurt and the uncertainty of where they're going to sleep tonight, we as the church, you as an individual and members of the body of Christ have a chance to say yes, to step into their story and help change the trajectory of people's lives, both now and for all eternity. So if we were to step back into the story of the vulnerable children now, after hearing who God has called us to be as individuals and the value He places on life and the value He places on your life, and we look at the lives of the hurting children and the families around us, let me reiterate, Promise strives to make it unbelievably simple for churches just like Calvary all across Montana to expand their outreach opportunities to vulnerable children in their backyards. God did not call Promise. We are building something that will not last forever, but we're building into you, the church, that does. These networks of churches that are across Montana are stepping into the lives of vulnerable children, serving foster and adoptive families and biological families in crisis. These church networks are advocating on behalf of families and vulnerable children all across Montana, ministering and meeting the physical and emotional and spiritual needs of children and hurting families, all being done by the local church. These local churches are supporting child welfare professionals to help prevent burnout. And since we launched in 2021 here in Montana, Promise 686 and the network of our church partners has grown to nearly 100 churches statewide, representing 15 counties, have supported roughly 350 child and family service staff members in offices in 11 counties. And has met the tangible needs of over 1,000 children. Amazing church partners just like yours are transforming the lives and the stories of children all across our state. We get the wonderful privilege of hearing just how impactful you guys are being in the local community from staff members, like one staff member who said, "The churches that help are always so kind, so supportive. They're able to provide a kiddo with bedding and beds, and this family would not have been able to purchase this stuff if it wasn't for the church." Literally stepping in, meeting the tangible needs of a bed, allowing a child somewhere to sleep that night. One staff member shared recently in a letter directly to the church partner, and she says this, "I am a child protective specialist. I just love connecting with your church to share the needs of children we serve. As you can imagine, this work is hard. Hard because there is more that needs to be done and could be done to support families that than we are capable of doing. And that makes us work hard. Hard because there is a constant feeling of, I wish I could do more." I'm going to add in there, hard because of the hopelessness that they face day after day. "But over the past few months, because of your church's generosity, I have been able to provide a single mom with medically fragile child gas cards to ensure they make it to their weekly appointments. I have been able to purchase tools and toys for a high needs child who's struggling in a new foster placement so they last longer and can foster stronger. I have been able to provide fresh bedding to a family in need. I can go on and on about the small needs that bring big outcomes that your church has donated. When I met a mom who didn't have a car and needed to walk to and from her appointments carrying her toddler, your church stepped in to provide at least a stroller to help ease the burden for this mom. Thank you. The load of this heavy, hard work is made lighter because of your ongoing support. The church that realizes each and every family, each and every child has a unique story and willing to step in. Calvary Chapel, you have been an active partner over the last 3+ years, pouring into the lives of this community in various different ways, from appreciation opportunities to show the love and light of Christ to the hardworking social workers, to providing gifts and encouragement for foster families in your community. Whether you knew this was happening or not, this is what you have been doing. You have met the needs and have joined in praying and giving to help empower churches across the state to enter into the stories of vulnerable children in their backyards. When we say yes to entering the story of those around us, when we say yes to taking the unique, powerful story God has given each one of us as a local member of the church to impact the kingdom, when we say yes to investing in the things that are on the heart of the Father with our time, with our talents, and with our treasures, we're not building into something that will last forever. Rather, we're building into someone that will last forever. And again, the question is, what role do you play in the story God has called you to? What ending are you going to walk towards? Are you walking towards an ending that builds something for yourself and won't really last? Or are you the one that builds into something that will last forever because you're taking the time to step into the mess and the stories of those around you? You're taking the story of God's wonderful creation of who you are and investing that and pointing others to Him. I want to close with these words from a really powerful song from Francesca Ballastelli. It says, "My life, I know it's never really been mine. So do with it whatever you like. I don't know what your plan is, but I know it's good. I want my history to be your legacy, God. Go ahead and show this world what you've done in me. And when the music fades, I want my life to say that I let you write your story on my heart today." Let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you that throughout scriptures you point us to the amazing story that you are who you say you are, that you are a God who seeks redemption and restoration and have paved the way for us. But Father, we are so thankful that in the midst of that grand story, Lord, you have invited us, you have called us, you have uniquely gifted us and chosen us to live out that story in the lives of others. And so, Father, as we leave this church building today, Lord, may our legacy be one where we boldly declare that you have written your story on our hearts. Let it be known to our friends and our family and our neighbors and the people that we meet on the street and around the world that you have called them as well, that you've chosen them, that you've created them uniquely and beautifully. And we thank you that you've invited us into this story. In Jesus' name, amen.